Welcome to Mighty Parenting, the podcast with real, raw, and relevant talk about raising teens and parenting young adults. Here are your hosts, Judy Davis and Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Mighty Parenting, a community where we help you raise teens and parent 20-somethings so they can become happy, successful, and emotionally healthy adults. I'm Sandy Fowler, here with my co-host and partner in crime, Judy Davis, who I love working with. We both just are so passionate about doing these Mighty Parenting podcasts for you guys and sharing all of these amazing guests with you. And we love keeping that commercial free. We appreciate you helping us keep that commercial free by supporting Mighty Parenting through going to mightyparenting.com and check on the box where you can donate and support us and make sure that we stay that way. So today we are talking about something that is near and dear, I think, to every parent's heart, and that is loving and connecting with your teenager. Somehow that can just seem almost impossible sometimes, but definitely different and can be more difficult in our teenage years. Just, I don't know, building that connection just becomes a challenge. And I think we've all had the experience. I know that I have done things and done things and done things and just felt totally unappreciated. I spend time making overtures that seem to make no difference at all or get totally rejected, and just makes it feel like your kids don't care or they think that you don't care and you don't know how to get that idea across. And, you know, while emotional outbursts and team drama can happen, we need to take that with a grain of salt, because there are times when our kids do still, I mean, they still love us, they still care about us, and we need to accept that those are just things that happen, and it doesn't mean that they don't know how much we love them. That hurts space. You know what I'm talking about, Jude?
I know, right?
Well, this morning, but
exactly. But you know, I can tell you how, or I should rephrase that. I can't tell you how many times miscommunication has impacted my family's ability to show appreciation for one another. We expect the other person to know how we feel and what we need, and then we get angry and frustrated when they don't. So it's almost like we are speaking different languages, and that is why our guest today is here to help us, because we are speaking different languages. And today we have Noel Metter with us, and Noel helps create stronger families by working with couples and families so that they can improve their relationships with one another and their children. He received his master's degree in education and is trained in so many relationship enrichment counseling tools such as Prepare and Enrich, Genesis Process, PrEP, John Maxwell Leadership Training, and Sales Conversations. So we are excited to have you with us today, Noel, and dig into this topic that is so important.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, and it's a pleasure to be here, and this is such a huge topic that I think, as you guys have already stated, that if you miss it, it can really create a lot of challenges in families and relationships. But when you connect and you get it right, oh my goodness, it creates so many opportunities for deeper connection, deeper intimacy. And so I'm excited to join in on this conversation.
Well, as parents, you know, we work really hard, and our goal is to do the best job we possibly can. And I think that we all do that, you know, in any given moment, we do the best job possible. And I know that I am always learning and making sure that that's the case. But what is so important when it comes to this topic of making sure our kids know that we love them? Because in my head, they should know already that I love them. Why don't they always get that?
Absolutely. Well, I think it's true. And I think one of the things that I'll just start by saying, you know, the five love languages, if you're not familiar with it, I can't take credit for it. This is definitely the work of Dr. Gary Chapman, just phenomenal author and someone who's put a lot of thought into this. And so I always like to start there. This is not original by any means from us, but this is something that not only personally I've used, but also the thousands of couples that we reach every single year. This is one of the main things that we direct them back to. And I think I'll start by saying this is that we all have good intentions. We all want to love well, but I think when it comes to really connecting at a heart level, we miss the mark when we don't understand what is the love language of our kid, our teen, and even our spouse. And that can be, and the reason we can miss on this, and I think this is one of the big things that I've seen over and over again, is that we tend to revert back to the language, the love language that fits our style best. And so we just kind of unintentionally think that's got to be, the rest of the world sees it the same way. I mean, my personal love style is acts of service, and I'll get into the five of them if you've never heard of this, but acts of service is just, as the name kind of states, it's, you know, doing things, it's picking up, it's, you know, taking care of the dishes, the home, you know, the home, all those kind of things translate to that speaks my love language. And oftentimes I can look out and say, and make the conclusion that everyone else is operating from the same place, when in fact they're in a very different place in terms of what connects with their heart. And so I think that's the kind of starting point of knowing that we don't always recognize what other people's love language is, because we're kind of operating from what's going on inside of our own sphere of influence.
No, before we get into the different love languages, what if one of our listeners have never heard of the concept? Can you tell us what it means to say, you know, what is a love language?
Yeah, that's good. That's a great place to start. Yeah, you know, I think on a very practical level, all of us have built within us an emotional bank. I like to say it's a bank account, and we're filling it. We're trying to fill it with different things. And this idea of a love language is a very intentional, practical way to meet that emotional bank account where the deposits are going in. And what oftentimes happens is that when we don't deposit the right type of love into that account, what ends up happening is that individual will begin to seek outside of the relationship that I have with them other ways to fill that emotional bank account. And I think this is really, really applicable to teens, especially because if you're putting deposits in and you think this is their love language and it's not, oftentimes you can think, oh man, I'm making deposits every single day into this emotional bank account, when your teen's sitting there saying, I am not connected at all. I don't feel loved. And then they begin to seek that place, which is they're going to find outside of the relationship with you a way to fill that void. And that's where a lot of times destructive behaviors can begin to come into the situation. That's on the more the extreme level. But I think that's a practical way to talk about this idea of what is a love language and how does it relate to the relationships that we're in.
So let's take that for a second to a practical example. Yeah. Judy talked about, you know, my kids should know I love them. And as parents, if we're taking the time to sit here and listen to this podcast, we obviously care about being a good parent. We love our kids. So how do I know if I'm missing that? You know, if I get up every morning and I make sure that they have a lunch for school and a ride to school and, you know, they've got great clothes to wear and I'm up and I'm spending time with them, eating breakfast and being there in the morning, or I'm coming to their games. How do I know that those things aren't working for my kid?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, practically, let me just cover the fives, because I think for some, this maybe is the first time you've heard about this whole idea of the love language. And there's five different types. There's words of affirmation, physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, and acts of service. And to give it a practical example of this, you know, you think about when your child was, a toddler or two, kind of right when they're developing that stage of walking. And right now we have a 10-month-old baby girl, and I've got three older boys. And it's really interesting to watch this and relating it to the love language. You know, we're like her biggest cheerleader of her taking her first step, like, and standing up. And we're just like, you can do it. You can do it, right? And we're expressing those words of affirmation, letting her know, like, we're with you. We're behind you. And I'm thinking about that in context to my 12-year-old who – his love language is words of affirmation. And I have found myself not having that same type of enthusiasm offering those words to him at the stage of his life. And it's more in this transparent moment here, but more critical, like, hey, you need to be doing this and you need to be, you know, staying focused on that. And the, you know, just realizing that for his, that emotional love tank that's a part of his life, how am I taking the time to make sure that I'm investing those words of affirmation for him? Because they're just as important as a 12-year-old to receive that from me. And so often I'm filtering it through, did you clean your room? Did you get this done outside? Which is what? Acts of service, right? So I'm filtering all those things. And it's more of a request of him. But even I find myself, I'll take care of those things for him, thinking, hey, I'm depositing into his bank account, when really all he needs right now in his life is for dad to come along and say, man, I am so proud of you. Like, you are just an amazing, you're becoming a man. You know, those kind of words, man, those, when they're deposited into someone who has that words of affirmation as a teenager, oh my goodness. And I can literally watch, when I've done that, his facial expression just light up. Like, there's something, I mean, he kind of walks around with his chest out like, yeah, I have what it takes. Because I think that's a core question that a lot of our teenagers are asking. Actually, I would just say this, for our boys, they're asking the question, do I have what it takes? And for our girls, teenage girls, they're really, one of the main things that they're looking for right now is, am I seen? Do you see me for who I am? And I think when we connect on those two themes around these love languages, my goodness, it transforms who they are.
Exactly. So how do we identify which of these five languages are the thing that our child needs, Noel? Because I think that's a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about, you know, your son, words of affirmation, and how do you know that that's the thing that really motivates him and drives him and fills up that bank account?
Yeah. Well, I think a really practical way, I mean, there's several ways you can get at this, but one of them is just to go to fivelovelanguages.com, and they have a quick assessment that anyone can take. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. And have your teenager sit down and do that, and it will map out for them or for you what is their primary and what's their secondary love language. That's one way to do it. But to be honest, I think when you look at these five different love languages, if you spend any amount of time with your kids, I think if you step back and reflect on what creates that connection, I mean, I know for our as our boys have grown older, we've been able to quickly dial in on, yep, so my oldest is words of affirmation, my middle son is quality time, and then my youngest is physical touch. And it's just been one of those things where observing and even trying this out, where you're testing it out on them, I would encourage you to even try out all five of them and see how does your kid respond, because you're going to see a difference in terms of when you express their love language versus one that doesn't necessarily connect with their heart. You're going to see that change.
So by identifying it, how does that affect your relationship with your kid? Once you tune into what they need, is there an impact that is significant?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is one of those areas, and I think it's partly why, I mean, love languages, when Gary Chapman wrote this, it's been probably 2 decades. And most things in the relationship space, they have a life shelf of about, I don't know, 3 to 4 or 5 years. And then it's kind of on to the next thing. This is one of those things that's, it's stayed around, and it will stay around for, I'm convinced, that, you know, decades to come, because core within every single one of us, these five areas are inherently a part of what we need in our lives to be loved. And so when you connect on that and you figure out what that is for your team, there's going to be greater, the impact is going to be better communication with them. They're going to be more open to hearing what you have to share. They're going to be probably more receptive in terms of just those conversations. And I think just closer in terms of that connection that we're all looking for, that can be difficult. So but I will say that it's one thing to know, like, hey, they're acts of service. It's another thing to know practically what does that actually look like on a day-to-day basis. Because sometimes even in that, it's really dialing in on what are the right kinds of acts of services that they're needing in our relationship. And again, I think knowledge is only as good as it translates down to the heart, right? So a lot of times we can have this information, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be transformative, which takes the time to move it into a place of action.
So can we take each of the five languages and give some ideas, some examples of how they can play out? What can we do with each of those languages, especially, you know, since you work in this arena, if you've seen different things? Like for me, you were talking about the idea of quality time. And one of my daughters is neurodiverse and touch sensitive and also very much of an introvert. So quality time for her is very different than what most people think of as quality time. And yet that's still one of her love languages.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I'd love to do that. Well, let's just start with words of affirmation. So, you know, a very practical action-based way to do that is obviously spoken words. Those are huge, what you're saying. I think to move it into another level is writing little notes and leaving them in special places where you know your teenager is going to connect with them. You know, it could be on the dashboard of their car, just reminding them how much they are valued and they're loved, sharing with them why you're so proud of them. Like those, even written cards, you know, we just sent our kids off to camp and it was so interesting because part of them going to camp was you wrote a letter and then we mailed it and they got to open the letter at the camp. And my oldest, which words of affirmation, right? We get in the car after picking them up and the other two, they didn't even talk about it. They didn't even like, it wasn't even on their grid. They're, you know, my oldest, he was like, "Oh my gosh, Dad, thanks for that letter. That meant so much to me." You know, I mean, it's like just amazing to see how the other two, great, I got a letter from you. But for him, like it meant the world that I sent him a letter in the mail to camp and he got to open it at camp, right? Mm-hmm. So that's words of affirmation, quality time.
And going back for just a second, you know, you talked earlier about this idea of chores and you said, you know, because your acts of service, you would do chores for them. So for a teen whose love language is words of affirmation, let them do the chore, but then give them words of affirmation about it after they're done. Like,
absolutely.
You know, you did that so quickly, so promptly. I appreciate that. Or compliment the way they did it, the good job they did, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if my son was sitting here on this interview, he'd say, yeah, because my words of affirmation, my love language, I shouldn't have to do acts of service, but that's not the case. So. I just want to make sure that's really clear. Like he still gets to do chores, even though that's not his love language. But yes, I think you're absolutely right. Like how do you engage them in things that they not necessarily want to do, but if you know words of affirmation is a huge part of their filling that love tank, man, if you want to reinforce the behavior of getting acts of service done in your home, this is a great way to do it, right? So quality time, you know, I think, again, some very practical ways is, you know, running errands together. My quality time son, like he loves to go on errand runs with me. And, you know, the other kids don't ask for that. They could care less about running to Home Depot. But for him, he's like every chance he gets, he wants to sit in the car with me. And we don't talk a lot, but we'll find this our favorite radio station and we'll listen to, and he loves, you know, figuring out what song, who sung whatever. And I don't even know these songs, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, you know way more than I do. But just that time together, oh my gosh. I mean, he's just a different person. Just he and I having time. So that's one way to do it. I think obviously doing things together, taking trips, going on a walk, sitting and talking at home, I mean, just that undivided attention, that's a huge piece to connecting with his heart. And anyone who's in the quality time, they just need, I mean, as it says, they need time, like undivided time where you're not split between cell phone and them. If you want to destroy quality time, just start looking at your phone during that time, you know, or be distracted on other things.
And I think that is so important because it seems like we are in such this fast-paced society right now that the person whose love language is quality time seems to be getting the raw end of the deal right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's tough. I mean, I'll be honest, like transparent, it's like as much as you have good intentions for someone who doesn't necessarily see quality time as a need, it's easy to get distracted with other things, but it misses the mark. And it is one of those things where we've seen it with our son, like when we're distracted and even though like we are thinking, hey, we're all hanging out, to him, that's not quality time.
Well, and my husband's love language, you know, his primary is quality time. Yeah. And for him, sitting and watching a show together is his, that fills his tank. And it is excruciating for me to sit there. I feel like I'm wasting time. Yes. And so, you know, and we're going to get through the other three, but I just have to take this little detour for 1 second.
Sure.
What happens if you are on the complete opposite? You know, I sit there and think of your son or my husband, quality time. And I'm a person that any time together is quality time. It's not, you know, it doesn't have to be a certain way, mm-hmm. but in his head it is. So how do you do that when you're on totally different pages with your teen or your spouse?
In terms of what is quality time to them versus what is quality time to you?
Right. Your definition is so different.
Right.
How do you fill their tank?
Yeah. And I think this is one of those things where there's two ways, I think. One is to have the conversation with them, ask them questions around it. Like, what is spending time look like in your world? Like, what would be something that, you know, at the end of the day, you'd sit there and go, man, that was really special. And just let them talk, right? I don't know if you can pull that out of a team. That might be, you know, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that might be the response. I think the other way is to test different things. I know with my son, again, kind of coming back to that example, for him, quality time, I would take up this is more my wife, like, hey, you're going to the store? Great. Take all the kids. Like, you know, that was her thing. And of course I'm like, yeah, sure. But I realized that wasn't quality time to my son who has that as his love language. That was more like, okay, we're doing an errand and everyone's together. Right. For him, what made it quality time was it just was dad and him sitting in the car, listening to music, going to Home Depot, having those conversations. So I think testing these things and kind of figuring out like what does that look like? I mean, even as you said, Judy, you know, sitting and just watching a show equals quality time for your husband, right? Mm-hmm. Not everyone that is in the quality time spectrum would necessarily say that's quality time for them. So it's
right.
It is specific, and I think you just need to explore or ask the questions around it. What does this look like for you?
So continuing our detour for just a little bit more.
Yeah.
With the kids, how do we know when we're hitting the mark? How do we know when we found their, not only their love language, but the thing within their love language? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. And I don't know if we always will know. I mean, some teens are much more expressive in letting you know that like that really was, you know, they're more expressive, I guess is what I'd say. Mm-hmm. Others, I think it's more trial and error, whereas you begin to act upon that core set of love language, you're going to begin to see them open up or feel more connected to you, right? So I think there's ways that as you are experiencing this to be able to kind of get a sense. I mean, I know with my kids, it took a little while, but I've been able to really tap into this is what hits the mark. Writing a letter. So for Drew, my oldest, who's at Words of Affirmation, like I'll tell him, you know, on a regular basis, man, I'm so proud of you, way to go. Like, and I think that partially fills the tank because that is his love language.
Mm-hmm. But
writing that letter, and it was like a 2-page letter of like really going into specifics of like, man, this is the man that I'm seeing you become. And here's what, you know, that kind of thing. My gosh, there was a completely different response. Like his face was, I mean, it was lit up for the whole day when we picked him up. He was just like, man, thanks so much for that letter. And he still has the letter, right? So like, all of a sudden that revelation was like, okay, for my son, I need to spend more time doing that kind of stuff, which is much more meaningful. It's more, you know, it obviously takes more time for me to do, but I'm happy to do that because I know that it's connecting deeper with him.
Well, and yeah, that takes longer, but you don't have to do 72 acts of service and, you know, 16 hugs a day. And you don't right. have to do so much of those other things because totally. All of that together doesn't equal the one note or letter.
I mean, filling
the love tank, putting a deposit in there, when you've got the love language, that's such a huge difference. So in looking at my kids and listening to you, I'm thinking, so when I start doing things, I can just kind of look for maybe some response, just some reaction and go, oh, maybe that's it. And try some more things along that line and see if that starts to open them up. If I do something and it's just truly no different, no, not even, you know, a raised eyebrow kind of a thing, then probably try a different love language first and go through them and try and find one at a time or try one at a time until we find one that seems to be maybe making a difference and then delve into that one a little bit more.
Yeah.
That take us through our, that kind of sounds like a way I could go about testing it.
I think so. I don't want to discourage the folks on the call, but I do think there is somewhat of a, we know the bullseye, right? Mm-hmm. But hitting it is sometimes hit and miss. And that just takes time. It just takes, you know, not every time it's going to translate into a deeper connection. But I think if we keep coming back to, okay, I know categorically words of affirmation is my son's love language, man, as much as I can keep trying to hit that bullseye, not everyone's going to hit, but there are going to be moments where it's like, wow, that connected. And then I can kind of deposit that saying, okay, keep that in mind going forward. This is something that really meant, it was special, right? And it really filled his cup. So,
all right. So we did words of affirmation. We did quality time. What's next?
Receiving gifts. So gifts is another one. This, I think practically speaking, is obviously giving gifts. But I would say that this is one of those areas that takes a little bit more time. So if your child is gifts, I would say that it's not just getting the gift for them, but it's learning what gifts matter to them. And then when you do, and these don't need to be, you know, big purchase item tickets, right? I think sometimes we associate gifts with, oh man, I got to go buy a new car for them to really communicate that I love them. That's not necessarily the case. I think it's more in the gift. How are we giving that to them and making it special, right? So it might be that we're going and buying something that we know matters to them, but then the way that we're putting it together or them discovering it, there's that extra touch of really saying, hey, you're special to me and here's the gift. I have found both working with couples and youth that is a, gifts is important, but how you deliver the gift really matters in this one. It's remembering special occasions, right? So, you know, like, and this would be more applicable to my relationship with my wife, but you know, for her secondary love language is gifts. And when our anniversary rolls around, right, it's not just remembering our anniversary that matters, but it's also getting a gift on our anniversary that really matters, right? Like, connecting those things together, like,
no
oh my
pressure.
God. Yeah, I know. Don't fail. And there has been that. So you learn from that too. But giving small tokens of things that matter to them, I think are really, they're huge. Yeah.
Well, and I can see that whole thought behind it and really thinking about them. My husband and my girls and I for, oh my gosh, I think it's been 14 years now, we make our Christmas gifts for each other. And when the girls got to be college age, we took off the moratorium and said, if you guys want to buy gifts for people rather than making them, you can. Mm. My younger daughter is so bent on it. It's not just that she does it. She's very vocal about there's no way I'm ever not making somebody's gift. And you can see the difference in her, not that she doesn't appreciate the other gifts and enjoy them, but the fact that we took the time to make it for her really impacts her.
Yeah, I would say that's the biggest thing I've seen with gifts is it's the packaging around the gift. And not just, you know, I mean that they're practically speaking, I guess you could translate in how we're wrapping it, but it's much more than that. It's the way we're delivering it. It's the way that we're making it that extra special touch that can go a long way.
And for someone whose, you know, love language is receiving gifts, the worst thing you can do is say, what do you want for your birthday? Because that's the thing that's just going to be like, you don't even know me.
Yes.
The thing, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So what's the next two?
So acts of service and physical touch. So acts of service, I think for in terms of the your teenager, assisting with house chores, ongoing acts of helpfulness, exchanging of chores. I mean, those are really practical way for them. They're going to be at their best when things are organized and they feel like, man, I'm in an environment where there's things that are getting done. Like, that's going to go a long way for them. But involving them in that process can be huge. I think, again, it's not just involving them, but then also doing it for them, right? So where maybe they're, you know, they're on occasion, the room had just gone completely sideways and you just, hey, you know what? I've got the time. I'm going to go in there and just clean it all up. For someone who's acts of service, you're going to connect with their heart, right? It's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much for doing that. So, I mean, those are some of the practical ways of engaging, I think, from a teen level. I think it's even like the words that we're using around that, right? Like, hey, can I help you with whatever, you know what I mean? Like those things can go a long way with connecting with them when it comes to this acts of service.
I like that. Can I help you with, or is there anything that I can help you with?
Yeah, exactly.
And then touch is kind of self-explanatory, right?
I think so. Although for the teen part, I think what I would really stress on this is that I think we're really good at, as parents, doing this when they're young. Like we'll pull them onto our lap, we'll sit with them, we'll cuddle with them, we'll take time to really embrace them. And then they move into this awkward teen stage where they're kind of like, I don't really want to be touched, you know what I mean? And we're kind of like, well, what's okay to touch? You know what I mean? Like there's this like weird space. And I will tell you that if your child is physical touch, man, finding ways to do, you know, just sitting close to them or doing a fist bump, you know, like, hey, buddy, you know, like that kind of like, it doesn't have to be like, we're going to cuddle in bed like you did when you were 5 years old. I mean, that'd be like a little weird, you know, with your 18-year-old, but finding ways to, you know, be close, hugs, pats, you know, those kind of things are huge for them. And our youngest, I think his second love language is definitely, physical touch is his first, and then acts of service. And he's 8, and he'll come up and he'll literally like just like pitch himself on me, like, hey, I want to sit on, you know, like we're watching a show, and just like, I want to be with you, dad, like skin to skin, right? It's like touch, it's huge for him. And I'm just thinking, man, when he's 18 years old, how am I going to stay engaged with him where it's not awkward, right? But I'm still embracing that type of love language, I think is huge. And I definitely think that's a tough area where parents have to navigate as they get older to still stay in that place of, man, giving those hugs. And even probably more so, like for your kid that has physical touch as their love language, I would say go overboard on giving them hugs and letting them know that, you know, I'm right here.
Mm-hmm. And even just quick touches as you're going through the room. My husband has a touch sensitivity. He has Asperger's and he's touch sensitive. But it's still important to him to be touched. And so like we figured out over time, I touch him on the back, like as I'm walking past him, just for, it's only a second or two. But for him, that's important. Or my older daughter, she is definitely, you know, touch is not a love language of hers, but she knows it's mine. Mm-hmm. So she comes up to give me hugs. And what she's told me is when she's feeling touch sensitive, she'll be like, Mom, you can hug me, but you gotta do it from the back.
Gotcha.
There are those nuances about that, you know, like you said, touch can get awkward, touch can be odd or be difficult, and it isn't just this totally, like you said, in bed, curled up reading books or something like you did when they were little. There are lots of other ways. You can just be sitting, when you know, like when your son's 18, you can just be sitting shoulder to shoulder on the couch or in the seat at the movie theater watching a show together or something like that, but you're still getting that physical touch in.
I think it brings up the point that your love language and your child's love language might be very different, and finding that balance where you can both fill each other up is all about the communication of what you need. And as parents, I think we can set that example to say, you know what, I really need, and even saying it, my love language is acts of service. And I really need you to look around and see what needs to be done so that I can then tell you. And, you know, I know you love to hear when I tell you how great you're doing. So let's do it together. Let's fill our accounts at the same time. I think it's a communication thing that can really help, especially when our love languages are different.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I would say that this is one of those family dinner conversations that needs to happen in every single home in America. I, growing up, never understood any of this. I didn't know about this until I got married, right? Like this was just, it wasn't taught to me in school. My parents didn't talk about it. And I went through, you know, years of just not understanding, like, how do I connect with my dad? Like, how did my dad connect with me, right? You know, how do I connect with my siblings? I think back now what I know, if that had been a part of our family gatherings and conversations, how different things would have been, right? And it's not like this is rocket science. This is something that's pretty practical, but we just need to start talking about it as families. And I think to engage your kids in this, man, what a great way for them to be knowledgeable of what is my love language, but also how do I look outside the world and see other people for their love language and begin to meet that. I just think that's the revolution that we're looking for at Stronger Families, is to really help families to move into this so that they can really live from a place of they're fully alive, they're fully being filled, and they're not having to find this in other places. And I think that's the harm and really where we're just fighting this at Stronger Families, is that, you know, if you're not filling the love tank of your teen, they are going to go find this somewhere else. I promise you, they will find it. And that's where I think a lot of these unfortunate situations, it could have been solved in the home, but they're looking for it outside of the home. And that's where, you know, destructive things begin to come up, because they're numbing the pain of not feeling loved in the relationship. So to me, this is kind of like the call to action of every family. It's like, man, we've got to do more around having these conversations and really figuring out what is it that, how can I begin to operate from this place?
And that's all we want, is for our kids to feel loved. So I'm going to take just a minute and go back and kind of hit a few of the high points from our conversation to bring us back to ground zero here. So what you told us, Noel, is we each have an emotional bank account, or as you've called it, our love tank. And there is a way to make deposits into that tank, and it's called love languages. And there are five of them. There's words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And everybody has a primary and sometimes a secondary. As parents, we can do trial and error. We can figure this out. We can also check out the test online at five love languages, and our teen might be willing to take it, or we might be able to go through and kind of get an idea by taking it, you know, pretending we're our teen if they don't want to take it for us. But as you said, we can do trial and error. We can test this out and see what kinds of things resonate with our kids. We can kind of step back and reflect on, through their lives, what kinds of things have seemed to make them feel good, and then do more of that. Not the things we think should make them feel good, not the things that make us feel good, because those are our love language, but the things that they actually respond to. And that we need to do this because our kids do. They need to feel loved. And if they aren't getting that tank filled up through home and family, through their parents, they're going to look for someplace else. And oftentimes that can lead to a destructive problem. So we can have fun with this, and we can have a good time with it, and we can do some testing to see what works for our kids. But you guys are doing great work at Stronger Families. Noel, can you just tell us where we can find out more information about the resources and the things that you guys have going on?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, what we started realizing is our main thing is we work with couples. We've served about 19,000 couples. And this is one of the core things that we have them go through, and they kind of figure out what is their love language and was our secondary. And what we quickly started to learn is that knowledge is not enough. Like, I can know, and I know my wife's love language. I've known it since the day I married her. Do I live that on a daily basis? I like to think I do, but if you talk to her, she's going to be like, nope, he's not, you know, he's still in process, right? And so we developed something called the Love Styles, and basically took the five love languages, and we created 52 weeks. Where every single week we send you, so you basically, you put in your spouse, your child's, love language. And then every single week we send you an email with a practical way to love them based on their love style, right? Their love language. And this has been unbelievable. The feedback that we get, because I think, you know, at the end of the day, if words of affirmation, we know that's our spouse's or our kid's love language. Okay, great. We've mentioned it on this call. Write cards or write little sticky notes. Well, how do you do that for 52 weeks, right? I mean, is that going to get a little bit old? So we just came up with, like, every week there's a new way to express words of affirmation. And we've done that for all five of the love languages. And it's been amazing just to see the stories that have come in and, like, thank you. And a lot of them are like, and don't let my spouse know that I'm using your guys' stuff, because I want to be.
That's awesome.
I'm coming up with all of this on my own. Like, and we're like, go for it. Like, you don't ever have to reveal your source. Like, we're just here for you. But you know, that's at strongerfamilies.com, and it's free. We have actually an online membership where we have this kind of thing that I've just mentioned. And then a bunch of resources across all different categories, from parenting to communication to resolving conflict, all the way down into the crazy stuff of, infidelity. And, there's a ton of resources. I'd just say, check that out. We're just here to serve. But I do know in this area, this is one of those things that if you can get this right and you can start doing this, even if you made it 1 month and each week you did something, what we tell couples that sign up for this, let us know after 4 weeks if there's been any transformation. And it's amazing. Just 4 weeks in, them coming back and saying, it's working. Like, it's working. Like, I'm figuring out how to do this. And I don't know. At the end of the day, not all of us are super creative. We're not all always have the time to put in all that extra thought to make it special. And I think that's what we're trying to do, is how do we help augment that, accelerate that for families around the world.
Mm-hmm. And I think for a parent, just to know there's a service like that, it gives me so much hope. I'm like, yes, I don't have to be creative all the time. And I can actually do something that's going to impact my relationship with my teen and my college student or whatever. So thanks so much, Noel, for being here today. I know I've got so many takeaways from talking to you for this little bit. I want to thank our listeners for joining us and being part of Mighty Parenting Community. If this is your first time listening, I know you enjoyed today and we want to welcome you for being here and invite you to go to mightyparenting.com to see all the support and tools and resources we have for you there. And if you're a returning listener, thanks for joining us here at Mighty Parenting. And Sandy and I will see you next week.